Hi, you're listening to the Almost Peaking podcast. I'm Aubrey Violetta-Gelperin, the host of this one, and I'm joined by my dear friend Jake Swanson today.
Hi, everyone. How's it going?
Jake, it's great to have you. I haven't had you on any of my things since I did college radio.
Yeah, no, it's great to be back.
And you were kind of great to be back. He was kind of like a reoccurring member on my show.
Yeah, I make some cameo appearances in Aubrey's life.
That's a really good way to kind of put you. So Jake and I actually became friends my freshman year. We met during Welcome Week, which is that first week when everyone's moving in. I did not like him. To put it lightly, he's kind of a weird kid.
Yeah, that's so fair.
That's fair.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, this guy's really annoying. And then we went to Nicaragua together.
Yeah, you know, when in Nicaragua.
When in Nicaragua. I don't know if you remember your journal entry from when we went there.
It was something about waking up.
It was like the wake up, vomit.
Yeah, I got really dehydrated in Nicaragua, and so the journal was basically my tales of getting dehydrated, and I had to drink this really awful dehydration sachet, and the next morning I like woke up, ate like a pancake, threw up, had some more pancakes, and like kept on trucking.
So. It's an interesting thing too, because I think that's one of those places where our trip, we were all really stuck together in some interesting times. I mean, for me, I was just like, it's so humid and so hot. This is miserable. And there were bugs everywhere. I remember looking down and seeing spiders crawling out of the eyelets of my shoes. If you hear the scampering in the back, we have the cats in the closet with us right now. Anna and Elsa. Well, Anna's passed out. She's one of my cats. And then Elsa's the other kitten. And she is a ball of energy, but doesn't want to be outside the room. Because the second we shut her out, she started meowing.
Yeah, she's kind of an attention hog.
And Jake, you're kind of attached to my cats at this point.
Yeah, they really like me. They call me Uncle Jake.
They call you that.
Yeah, I can like communicate mentally with them, so.
I'm surprised you went with Uncle. Like, I feel like Grandpa Jake kind of fits you better with your relationship with them.
Yeah, but I'm more of like a fun uncle, you know what I mean? It's like that one guy who's not really like related to you, but everyone calls them Uncle.
So Jake, to give the listener some perspective, where are you at in your life right now?
Ooh, that's a deep question. So, well, I just got back from abroad 6 months ago. I spent the semester in Rome this spring, and I was able to travel like all around Europe, and I even played volleyball for the school team in Italy. So
you can say you're an international volleyball star now.
Yeah, that's on my Tinder bio, so.
First semester senior.
Yeah, so I'm graduating in May.
And what are you studying?
Double major in political science and environmental studies. So I'm like really interested in like environmental policy, and hopefully one day I'll work for the EPA.
Okay, so I'm going to actually ask you some questions about that.
Okay,
in a little bit, not right now. First, I want to start with your study abroad experience.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack.
Which there. I make fun of you for a lot. just because I feel like, first of all, everyone studies abroad in Rome.
Yeah.
Why Rome?
Okay, so originally, like, I was thinking of going to either London or Australia. And then I, like, just missed the GPA requirement for one of the London programs. And then Australia would have put me all the way into the summer for when I would get back to the U.S. One of my roommates was just like, what about Rome? Like, you probably don't have to speak Italian. Like, it's a pretty cheap city.
Was it a pretty cheap city?
Yeah, it was.
Really?
Yeah, there were a lot of bars that had really good college deals, like Euro Shot Night. And the nightlife was amazing. The sights and the history was incredible. And the people that I met there, I don't know, it's hard to make this stuff up.
I was going to Rome or Europe, things you did in your time there that you would absolutely recommend, must-sees, must-dos.
Okay, so my favorite place that I've, like, ever been, like, the best day of my life was in Santorini. So
where's that?
It's an island in Greece.
Of course it is.
Me and all my roommates went with this company called Bus to Alps. We started in Athens, then made our way to Santorini and Corfu, but Santorini was the best for me. Our first day there, we rented ATVs, and me and all my roommates just drove around the island and explored and everything. And then the next morning, we woke up at 6 a.m. to watch the sunrise.
So that was one really cool place. Anything in Rome or Italy that you really think was a standout?
So I stayed in Rome. I stayed in this neighborhood called Trastevere, and it's just over the bridge from like the main city, and it has the best food. You see all these old couples arm in arm, like,
that's,
taking,
like, why can't we do that?
Oh, my God.
That's so cute.
No, it was adorable. And they would take, like, a low stroll around
Trastevere. Like the promenade kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And go to, like, the different piazzas. And it was just, like, a great place to people watch. And food is, like, very important. And family is very important to them. Yeah, I don't know. Like, their way of life is... It's great in some ways, but I was ready to come back to the States, like, in May. Yeah. Well, I ran out of money in May.
How did you run out of money?
So, spring break in Greece was expensive. It was, like, $800. So, there was that. Just grocery shopping, I think. It wasn't too expensive. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't too expensive, but
Would have been worse if you got into that London program.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, my God. I couldn't imagine. But, yeah, the bars were, like, super cheap, but there wasn't much work. Like, I didn't have a lot of schoolwork, so we would go out 3 times a week. But I didn't go out to dinner that much. But, yeah, I did spend all my money.
You went on a lot of dates then? Were you, like, trying to pick up girls? Well, you're, like, buying drinks at the bar?
Yeah, I did that one time. And then
really?
I, like, bought a drink for someone, and they were just like, okay, thanks, and then just walked away.
Well, okay, I had a weird experience, completely side note, last night.
Go for it.
Me and my friend Paige, we dropped off, like, our friends, it was her birthday, dropped them off at the club because it was an event that was with our sorority that I had been in when I was in college, but I graduated, so I can't go to the events anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Dropped them off and went to a hotel bar across the street. We're like, we're just going to get a couple beers. I know. I was
fancy.
It was like 9:30 p.m. too. I was like, there's not a lot of people here. We can just, like, talk and hang out and catch up. It'll be super nice.
Mm-hmm.
This guy would not leave us alone.
Oh, boy.
And he just kept being like, let me buy your drink. And I was like, no, I'm good. And he was like, let me buy your next one. And I was like, no, I'm good. And he's like, so I'm going to buy this one. And I was like, this guy is really not picking up on anything. And so that's my first experience with someone offering to buy my drink. And I was not a fan at all. He was speaking in French. He's like, I'm from Miami, but I also, like, this is my first time in D.C., and I'm looking at, like, buying a place here. And, like, I have to buy your drink because you and your friend are so beautiful. It's, like, my friend Paige. And I was not having it. I'm done with creepy old dudes. He like, turned to her at one point. She and I were very clearly not interested in this conversation.
Yeah. No.
And he's like, I think I'm old enough to be your dad. And she's like, how old are you? And he's like, 46. And she goes, yeah, you are. And he didn't realize why that line didn't work.
Oh, God. See, when you're buying, like, a drink for someone, like, you have to be, like, nice about it. Don't be, like, too pushy. Don't expect anything. You know what I mean? I don't know. Buy them a drink, like, have, like, a nice conversation, but you gotta, like, feel their vibe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I was just, that was very much, we were like, you're not paying for our drinks because we don't want to feel any sort of obligation towards you here. But that's my one experience with someone buying me a drink. Speaking of your dating life,
mm-hmm.
you mentioned in your Tinder bio, it says you're an international volleyball player.
Yeah.
Do people ever, like, go for that, or is that, like, kind of a you tricked them kind of thing?
It's kind of like a you tricked him kind of thing. But it's like, so it's like part of like two truths and a lie. So one is like, I was my high school mascot. I was an international volleyball player. And the other one was like, I went skydiving in Fiji, which I haven't done, but my sister's done. So just
so people like, if someone's like, oh, I love skydiving in Fiji, you're like, well, hit up my sister.
Oh my God.
She has a dog.
Yeah, she also has a boyfriend.
So she's doing a lot better than you. That's the moral of this story.
She's older. It's fine. She has her life together. She has a townhouse in Baltimore. And I'm still living in the dorms, but it's fine. It's fine.
It's fine. Everything's cool.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm actually curious to know what it's like being a guy on Tinder. I know I've gone on your account.
Yeah.
But I feel like you and I had very different experiences with dating apps.
Yeah, so it's definitely different because every time you swipe, it's not a like. I saw, like, your Tinder, like, every time you swiped, you got 10 likes in a row. So it's not exactly like that. But I think my issue really is, like, I'll say hi or whatever, do, like, small conversation, and then I just won't message them again.
That's okay. My thing is, like, I never want to actually message someone in the first place. So my bio used to be, I'll probably only talk to you if you follow my Instagram.
Yeah, that's a lot of girls do that.
I think I'm the first person I've known of to when everyone like started doing stuff like that. Like I was on the ball with that.
Oh, you were the first one.
Uh-huh. Freshman year, I told people to listen to my radio show in my bio. So,
oh, see, that's interesting. You got to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So people follow me on Instagram, and then I wouldn't talk to them still.
Oh, geez.
So shout out to all my my Insta followers that came there from Tinder.
Oh, geez.
I got it worked really well in the beginning. It stopped working when I got a boyfriend.
Yeah, that's a good time. And they time were like, "So
who's
working?
This guy on your Instagram?" Someone Yikes. Called me out for it once. They're like, "You're like soliciting like Instagram followers while there's literally a boyfriend on your profile."
People do that. You're not the only one to do that.
Am I not?
No.
Thank God. Okay. I was really worried. I was like, I'm getting called out and this is probably the worst thing.
No, it's fine. But yeah, I think my issue is like, I like never know what to say or like where to take things
It's weird.
After that.
It's like, because it's such a forced situation. I've never been on a Tinder date. I've never really like met someone through Tinder or anything like that or any online dating platform.
Yeah. So I had a class with this one girl. And I sat next to her. This was, like, the beginning of the semester. And I sat next to her, and, like, we were, like, kind of vibing, like, a little bit. Like, she would, like, make a point in class, and I'd be like, yo, that's what's up.
Okay, there you go. Support the women when they speak up in class.
And then we matched on Bumble, and I was just like, oh, this is crazy. we went on, like, a nice date. We got dinner at... Oh, what's the name of it? It's not the Smith. I forget the name of the restaurant, but it's like some like nice restaurant. But I see Tinder and Bumble as like kind of like a catalyst for like, you know, like sparking something. You know what I mean?
No, the only time I would ever talk to someone is if like I'd met them in real life before too.
Yeah, this is like totally weird if you're just like, I've never met you before, but we had like a nice little like 10-line witty conversation.
Yeah, like I liked your pickup line. Like, yeah. And granted, I'm sure not everyone's on it looking for a date, but
yeah,
strangers scare me. The internet scares me.
Yeah. Like swiping is more fun than actually messaging people. Because,
oh, absolutely. It's also that gratification of everyone matching with you, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know the feeling as well.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So now we're at the point in my show where I'm going to ask you for a story.
Okay.
I want to hear about a time when you were almost peaking.
So this was second semester, senior year. My high school is like a little bit different. So our last month of senior year, we had the opportunity to like do an internship anywhere like in town. So some people went with the police department. So I ended up going with a teacher in middle school. He taught seventh grade social studies or something like that. Geography maybe. And yeah, so like going into it, I'm just like, man, senior year is almost over. Like, this is great. I'm going to college. Like, I don't have to deal with the last month of senior year in school and do some BS work that I don't really care about. And I was just like, this is great. I'm graduating. I already know where I'm going to college. I just had to like show up and be the teacher's assistant and keep the kids kind of in order, which it was like a lot of fun. Being kind of like their mentor and telling them what high school is going to be like. So what happened was, flashback to fall semester of senior year, my parents went to Vegas for a couple days, like a long weekend. And I was just like, okay, this is senior year. Let's just do something crazy. Like,
I mean, you were already the high school mascot. You're kind of the coolest person, clearly, in your school. You have to make the most of it when you have the opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. So I was just like, all right, classic high school, like throw a party at the house. Parents are going to Vegas for a couple days. And so I was going to throw it on Friday night, but apparently I told too many people and there were going to be over 100 people there. So I like canceled that, did it on Saturday, told a lot less people. So we had it on Saturday. Everything was fine, like typical high school party. There was a picture of me and I looked drunk with some of my other classmates. And I was just like, oh, whatever. Everyone does it. It's not a big deal.
NBD.
It's not gonna bite me in the butt.
Well, because that's one of those things. They always warn you. It's going to impact your future. Your future employer is going to see this. And we're kind of like, no.
Oh, believe me. I got the talking to that month. So one of the girls who was in seventh grade teacher's classes, she was the sister of one of the girls who was at the party. And she somehow got her hands on this picture and showed it to the math teacher. He's just like, oh, I gotta report this to the principal. And so he reports it to like the middle school principal, and he like calls me into the office. He told me what happened. The principal and I knew each other because I had gone to middle school there. So my mom was a middle school softball coach, so I had already been on really good terms with the principal. He was also a Red Sox fan, so It was a plus.
I'm all Yankees over here.
Gross. How are you not a Mariners fan? That's another
story. The Mariners suck, but yeah.
So I go into this meeting. He told me what had happened. And I was just like, oh, crap. That's not good. There's nothing that I did on the job that jeopardized my
position.
Position there. Yeah. So he tells me that. He's just like, yeah, unfortunately, we just got to, like, let you go. Like, it's just, like, kind of awkward, like, conflict of interest.
Exactly, like, yeah.
Sorry it happened this way. Like, you didn't do anything wrong while you were here, but it just
you
came back to
bite. You messed up in your real life.
Yeah. So I was just like, all right. There were, like, 2 weeks left before I had to graduate. And so then he's just like, okay, now you got to go drive back to your high school. And so I drive to high school. I'm just like, oh, crap. What's going to happen now? Am I not going to walk at graduation or what? My high school principal was just like, you got to make some serious changes in your life if you want to go anywhere. Something along those lines.
Damn, that's harsh.
And I was just like, bro, like, I didn't even do anything at this internship. This is
was
my
that
private,
actually
like,
your response, or were you
no,
upset?
No, no, no. I was just taking whatever he gave me. I was just like, yes, sir. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
but in your head, you were like, yo, this was my private
life.
Well,
after the fact. But I was also really nervous for what would happen
like,
to me.
Why are these people so obsessed with me?
He was just like, you better get your affairs in order or something
your
like that.
Your affairs in order.
Something like that.
Sounds like you had a very strict principal.
But that wasn't the worst part.
Oh, God. What was the worst part?
So then he sends me to meet with vice principal, who's like...
Always scarier than the principal.
We have two vice principals. They're in charge of different grades. So this is my vice principal, technically. So I go to his office. He's just like, okay, we're going to call your mom. You're going to be on speakerphone. You have to tell her, like, what happened, pretty much. So I tell her that I threw the party and everything.
Does the school have the authority to do that?
I don't know. They just did it anyways. I had to tell my mom that I threw the party and that I got kicked out of my internship with 2 weeks left before I was left to graduate. Kicked out of the middle school. Principal yelled
middle school?
High school principal yelled at me. High school vice principal is making me call my mom and tell her what happened. This is not how senior year of high school is supposed to go.
You tried to be cool for one time in your life.
Exactly. And
you're like, I haven't even had my first kiss, Mom. Like, let me throw my party.
Yeah. And so yeah, I was like really nervous after that. So basically what happened was I got the last 2 weeks off. I didn't have to intern. I didn't have to like go to class.
Did they still give you like credit for it?
Yeah, or it's not, like, credit, but they just, like, mark you
off. They
still
let you graduate.
Yeah, yeah. So they let me graduate. They let me walk and everything. And I was just like, oh, that's good. So in the meeting with the vice principal, he's just like, oh, like, that's weird. I've never seen you here, like, in my office before. I've never, like, really seen you around school. This
and
is
you're
crazy.
Like, that's because I'm the mascot. I'm always in disguise.
I'm just like, bro, I'm the mascot, like... I'm on, like, the
I'm the most popular kid in school.
Team. Yeah, like, didn't you see me do, like, the Miley Cyrus Wrecking Ball pep rally for cross country in 2013? Anyways, I ended up, like, at our awards night, I got an award, and it was, like, Unsung Hero, and I was just like, what? Like, everyone knows who I am except for, like, the people who gave out the awards. I don't know why you decided to give me this award, but, like... I'll take the $100 or whatever.
Wait,
much
what?
Scholarship.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
I got best bitch glare and then I was runner up for class clown.
They
so
had
I really.
Best bitch glare?
It was a special award made for me.
Oh my God.
When I graduated senior year of high school.
That's crazy.
They did not give me $100 with that.
But yeah, anyways, I got that award. Still got to walk at graduation. And then when I came home to like talk to my parents about it or whatever, I was just like, oh, like they're gonna punish me like so bad or whatever. But luckily, like my sister was like a goody two shoes, like never did anything wrong in her life or whatever.
Again, so she's clearly the better version of you.
Whatever, debatable. So they ended up like not really like punishing me at all because they didn't really know how to.
Really? Like, did they say anything to you?
My mom's like very emotional, so like she like cried a little bit. I ended up getting away like with no punishment except for my dignity. Took a
Your
big
dignity
hit.
Took a toll. Your high school reputation.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be, like, a, like, people would, like, applaud you. Like, if you were in a high school movie, that's the kind of thing that happens, and then everyone pats you on the back afterwards.
Yeah. I talked about it to, like, my classmates, and they were just like, damn, like, you went through some crap. Like, that's, that's crazy. But, yeah.
What was going through your head when all that happened?
I was so scared. I almost, like, crapped my pants, like, several times that day. I was just like, you gotta make me meet with, like, two principals, like a vice principal, then I got to deal with my parents on top of that.
My biggest fear, especially those last couple weeks of high school, was that I was going to mess something up and then college would be like, psych, you can't come.
Yeah.
If I were you, that would be my biggest fear. Yeah.
That was like less of a word. I don't, that should have been going through my mind, but I don't think it was. I think I was just like worried about like consequences, like with my parents and at the school. There was like a crazy senior prank at my high school. I think it was my junior year or my sophomore year, and it was the last day of school, and someone had the crazy idea of like buying an inflatable sex doll, like blowing it up and like attaching balloons to it and like floating it to like the center of our cafeteria. It was like hilarious. Everyone was laughing, but that was yeah, pretty crazy.
I tried to senior prank kind of stuff because our school was very, very strict. So me and my friend Ryan were on like our school's TV broadcast thing. It was called Good Morning Inglemore.
Oh,
and we were
God.
Doing like the announcements. Like we're around campus being like, hey, lunch today is blah, 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 blah. Like this meeting is meeting here. Like that kind of
thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait, were you sitting behind a desk?
So that's like if you were anchoring. So I would do that sometimes, but for
this
day. Oh,
you would be out in the field.
For this day, I was out in the field.
Wow.
Which is really like a field because I had an outdoor campus in Seattle where it rains a lot, which doesn't make sense. Because there was not many covered walkways and it was an overcrowded school. But I digress. Anyway, so we had like our little microphones and we're around campus. Mm-hmm. And midway through, we were like, you know what we're going to do? Our prank, we're going to fire all the teachers.
What?
And we're like, something like, please thank us in saying goodbye to the following professors who have been asked to leave Inglemore after this year.
Oh my God.
And we just gave a list. And we like took turns reading them. We're like, the school would like to thank you for all your service to the students.
Oh, that's like some
And a couple
real...
people believed it, which was the craziest thing. Because it was so badly done. Like it was
okay.
In my opinion.
So like you could tell like that it was fake.
I mean, we gave so many names that of course it was fake kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But.
That's bad.
But there's people who
bad.
Believed it, and it was pretty funny.
If I was a teacher, I'd be pissed. I'd be like, oh, my God.
Well, the teachers
God.
Were like, oh, that was funny. Like, that's cool. Like, I'm getting recognition. I'm hip with the students now kind of thing. And I was like, no, but psych, you're fired.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, kind of moving on a little bit, you're really into environmental policy.
Yeah.
What got you interested in that, and where do you see that going?
Yeah, so the same high school that kicked me out of my internship.
In their defense, it was the middle school that kicked you out.
It was the middle school. It was the middle school. My fault. It was my fault.
Middle school's a rough time for everyone.
Especially when you have to go back.
That's like a tagline for a movie or something. Like, you know, like 17 again.
Yeah.
It's like middle school's a rough time for everyone. Especially when you have to go back and it's like a 12-year-old Zac Efron.
Or like Billy Madison.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyways, so I was president of Model Congress my senior year of high school. And I did it for 4 years. And basically, it's like, it's basically like Model UN. And like, we like, everyone who went to like these conferences at like Ivy League schools, like we went to Yale, Harvard, Princeton, Penn.
Yeah, just to name drop a few.
Yeah, you know, wow. There's no
It's
Ivy's
almost
on
like
the
you're
West
from,
Coast.
I know, it's almost like you're from Connecticut or something.
Yeah.
White privilege, capital of the world.
Yeah. Anyways.
Anyway.
We're getting past that. So I went on all these conferences, and basically, like, everyone who goes on the conference writes their own little bill, and you get, like, assigned, like, a committee. So I did a lot of environmental committees, and I feel like I didn't really know that much, but, like, I was, like, interested in politics from that. And then senior year, I took AP Environmental Science, and that was, like, very big, like, eye-opening class. Probably the best class that I took in high school. Shout out Mr. Park, if you're listening. Probably not. It just made me aware of, like, so many environmental issues, like climate change and water pollution. And
you weren't aware of that before?
I didn't really know. I don't know. No one really talked about it that much. Like, you don't really talk about it too much in bio or chem or physics.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from Seattle, so that was very much a hot button topic.
Very liberal.
Very cool.
But yeah, so I was just like, man, like, everything's, like, terrible with the environment. Someone's got to do something about it. So I was just
You're
like,
and I'm going to be that someone.
It's going to be me.
It's going to be me. That's the There we go, the song. Yeah. We can jam out in my closet now.
But yeah, so that's what got me into it. And yeah, I've never looked back. That's pretty much like what I came into as AU, as like political science, environmental studies, and never looked back.
So question for you on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite form of renewable energy?
I would probably say solar, and the fact that not almost anyone, like, obviously if you have the financial means to do it, but it can be implemented on such like a small scale, and like it can make a big impact. If everyone in the U.S. had solar panels on like their houses, like that would make like a huge impact. And it's part of like making environmental problems that are like these big, huge issues, trying to make them local and make individuals feel like they can make a difference. And, like, you'd also have, like, these huge solar farms in actually Texas, which is, like, leading in solar now.
Texas, that's interesting. I wouldn't think of that as a leading renewable energy sector.
Yeah.
Not sector, I guess, location for a renewable energy sector.
Yeah, it's a little ironic because, obviously, Ted Cruz just won, and you haven't seen a lot of progressive environmental policies from Republicans these days. But environmental policy is like something where you have to be like optimistic at the same time as like so much pessimism.
What do you think is the easiest change we can make in our everyday lives to positively impact environmental policy or environment in general?
Yeah, so I'm taking this class. It's my senior capstone for environmental studies. And the first project that we did was a behavior change project where for 2 weeks we would do a behavior that positively impacted the environment or like reduced our emissions pretty much. And so I went vegetarian for 2 weeks.
Did you really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Why didn't we hang out then?
Yeah, it was actually harder than I thought it was.
Really?
Harder than I thought it would be to go vegetarian. Because like the first day I was supposed to like meet one of my friends for drinks, and I was just like, oh, okay, great, like it's at Gallery Place, like I could, like I have like an extra hour, like I could take it to Union Station, get Taco Bell, and then like
there's a lot of vegan options at Taco Bell and vegetarian
well,
options.
Well, I was thinking like getting like a beefy 5-layer burrito on my first day.
Classic, you know.
It is for me. I love Taco Bell.
I've only been there once.
Oh my god, you have to
it
go.
Was over the summer.
I love Taco Bell.
Go on the record as saying that.
Yes, pro Taco Bell stance. But yeah, so it was like very tough for someone who like has like a lot of meat in their diets, but
I thought your diet was all mac and cheese at this point.
That's also another big component of my diet. Two things I eat, meat and mac and cheese.
I hear you can mix those two together sometimes.
It's a very good idea. But yeah, so we had to do like research on like what impact it would have on the environment. Actually producing like a pound of beef uses like a ton of water that I didn't even know. I had no idea.
Yeah, well, my favorite thing about that, not favorite thing, but there's always that counter argument that pro meat eaters use. I know this because I'm on all the vegan forums. That plants use water too. And while agriculture growth and stuff does require water, it's not nearly as much as the amount needed for like a singular cow.
Oh yeah, of course. And let alone like the, you know, methane emissions from like all the livestock and mm-hmm. like land use practices. And yeah, so it was definitely, like, hard for me to go vegetarian for 2 weeks. But now it's, like, every time I go to TDR or...
Which is the dining hall on
the
campus.
The dining hall on campus, yeah. I'll always get, like, a veggie burger.
Really?
Yeah, and they actually taste pretty good.
You know
good.
What you should try? I don't know if you have dinner plans tonight, but if you're staying here, I have the Beyond Burger.
Oh, yes.
Which is so good.
We're going to do that tonight.
Yeah, I got those. Perfect. Which, granted, they're more expensive than, like, a normal veggie burger. And they come with less in the pack. I think at Whole Foods, it's, like, $6 or $7 for a two-pack of burgers.
Okay.
But I like to buy them on my own, too, because, you know, if I go out to a restaurant, it's $13 for it anyway.
Yeah.
And they're really good. Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, because you've talked a lot about that.
Have you not had them before?
No, I
haven't. Okay, yeah, no. Everyone out there, the Beyond Burger is absolutely phenomenal. Trader Joe's actually does one I think you would like. It's like tikka masala Indian spices burger.
Ooh.
Really good.
Interesting.
Big fan. It's like potatoes and peas, but it's mashed together. Anyway, it's phenomenal.
You gotta be crafty when you're vegan, you know what I mean?
That's my favorite thing about being vegan, besides the fact that I'm single-handedly saving the environment.
Just you.
Just me. I do my part, what can I say? But my favorite thing about that is when I first went vegan 6-7 years ago, I've always loved cooking, but it makes cooking so much more fun. Food is more fun when you're vegan.
Why is that?
In my opinion. Just because... it's more creative. Like, you can't just sit down and make, like, chicken and broccoli or chicken and rice.
Yeah.
Or chicken and whatever else people put with chicken. or you can't just do, like, a plain hamburger.
Yeah.
When I'm making something, it's... I don't know. I'm so much more conscientious of what I'm eating and consuming and, like, giving to my body, which I think is really... It changed my relationship with my body, which I think is really cool. And, like, that idea of what you consume has an impact on your attitude and... behavior and everything.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. And you make your own hummus sometimes, right?
I do. So actually, homemade hummus is super easy.
Okay.
Fun recipe. Here we go. So you get a can of chickpeas, just like at the grocery store, also known as garbanzo beans. When I realized they're the same thing, threw me off.
Wow. I had no idea.
Fun facts. The more you know. This is an educational show now. You take garbanzo beans. Trader Joe's sells pre-made tahini sauce. Which is kind of, it's roasted and creamed sesame seeds, if I'm not mistaken. And that's the kind of sauce that you need in the base. But so you take the chickpeas with, I usually drain out like half the water that's in it, tahini sauce, salt and pepper, some garlic, little olive oil, some lemon juice, put in the blender, and it's homemade hummus.
Damn.
Also way cheaper than hummus.
Yeah,
and
I bet.
Get a lot more, and it's creamier. I'm a big fan. And that's also, like, the easiest version of homemade hummus. There's tons of recipes on Pinterest.
Mm-hmm. Plus, like, if you're... I don't know. If you're making it yourself, like, I feel like it's, like, a fun little activity, especially, like...
It is. See, that's my thing. I graduated. Like, I'm bored. I have no fun activities. And someone asked me, they're like, oh, did you join, like, an adult, like, rec sports league?
That's what I would totally do.
Which I would totally do. It's just, how do you have the time for that? Because... my thing is, I get off work, and at that time, I'm like, okay, I want to do something with the rest of my day. All other adults are working, and then these adult rec sports leagues are on weekends, and when it's the weekend, I want to take that time to hang out with friends and see people and live my life. You know, I can't be held back by my big sports career.
I'm wearing my... the viewers can't see this, but I'm wearing my...
The viewers? the listeners.
Listeners. I don't know how podcasts work. But I'm wearing my I Won an Intramural Championship t-shirt right now.
What intramural championship did you win?
I won outdoor volleyball.
How did you get into volleyball?
So every year my family rents like a beach house in New Jersey for a week. We like cram like everyone's. It's like my immediate family, like two of my other uncles, my grandma, and like all the cousins. So we rent this beach house, and like some years like we play volleyball, and I'm just like, oh, that's like kind of fun. And so then I tried out intramurals, and then I won outdoor sophomore year spring, and then indoor sophomore year fall. And then going into my study abroad experience, like they just had open tryouts for anyone who wanted to play volleyball, and I was just like, yeah, I did intramurals, like I could try out this whole volleyball thing, like, and be on like an organized team and have a coach and everything. And that was great. And so now I'm doing club volleyball at AU. So
was volleyball different in Italy than it is here in America?
Yeah, I think the language barrier had something to do with it, because like the athletic director would be like, oh yeah, guys, I don't have the informations yet for our meeting tomorrow. But like the little things like that. Our coach didn't speak much English.
Was your team English speaking?
Yeah, so the school, like, is their slogan is like an American university in Rome. So it's, like, taught American style. Like, mm-hmm. the school is probably, like, half Italian students and then, like, half, like, American study abroad students. So that was, like, kind of how our team was made up, too. But it was great because I hung out with, like, some of the Italian, of my Italian, like, teammates. And
it sounds a little bit like kicking and screaming.
Kind of.
Always pass the Italians.
Yeah. And yeah, I would just, like, hang out with them, and they would take me to, like, some of, like, the parties that they had with, like, their friends. Like, because a lot of them were, like, from Rome, actually. So I would just, yeah, like, go to some of their parties, and all their friends, like, only spoke Italian with, like, very little English. Mm-hmm. So I had to, like, refine my Italian skills a little bit.
So what do you know? What was the most common phrase you would say in Italian, and what does it mean?
One of the things that I heard, like, every time that I was on the tram to get from my apartment to campus, without a doubt, like, every time, like, some little old lady who was trying to, like, exit, because it was, like, really packed, anytime, like, some little old lady would, like, try to exit, she would say, like, permesso, like, because she was, it's basically, mm-hmm. like, excuse me, like, I'm trying mm-hmm. to, like, get out here. Me and my roommates make fun of, like, permesso a lot. And we're
interesting.
Like,
okay.
If we're, like, in big crowds, we're, like,
screaming.
So you
hate little
old
ladies.
Well, we did it in, like, a little old lady voice. So, like, we would always, like, think of them whenever we were trying to
always think
permesso.
Of them. Permesso. Okay, well, I learned a new Italian word today.
Yeah, there you go. I haven't spoken Italian so long. I lost, like, a lot of it in, like,
that's a good excuse when you come back to act like you knew it in the first place.
I knew, like, enough to get by, where uh-huh. I could have, like, a conversation with someone who didn't speak that mm-hmm. good of English.
Well, that was my funny thing when we went to Nicaragua mm-hmm. on that trip. There was one day where we went to, what's the term? It was, like, a market. I speak Spanish fairly well.
Yeah.
I also don't look like I would speak Spanish fairly well.
That's fair.
My grandmother is from Argentina, mm-hmm. and so my dad's whole half of the family speaks Spanish. Mm-hmm. Not my dad. He grew up in the Bronx and doesn't speak Spanish. He understands it really well.
Okay.
Doesn't speak it very well.
Gotcha.
But, so I can understand it pretty well. I took it for 4 years in high school.
Okay.
And especially, I think, just through being around my grandma, I don't think she realizes how much of an impact that's had.
Yeah.
Where I really can understand it really well. But I get really embarrassed around native speakers speaking it.
Yeah, because you don't want to mess up.
I don't want to mess up. I don't want to have them be, like, making fun of me, because I get the conjugations wrong. That's typically...
I'll
think
toughest.
Of the word, and I'm really good at kind of the circumlocution kind of thing, where it's like you say... If you don't know what something is, you can describe it.
Yeah.
But when we were at the market, we had people in our group that, you know, their families were from Mexico, and they were getting really great prices on everything at this market. Mm-hmm. And I would go up, and it was the same thing, and it'd be, like, seven times as much.
Oh, really?
Just
because
they were
God.
Like, like this white girl... Like this blonde white girl who is, you know,
yeah.
dressed for adventure, clearly, in my, like, running shorts and long-sleeve shirt and, like, knee-high rain boots.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So that's always been, like, my big language barrier thing, is it's, like, even if I could, like, convince them. I did talk someone down. I have, somewhere in here, I have a white dress that I got at that market. It was, like, initially a certain amount, and I talked them down. I was so proud of myself. And then everything else, I was like, oh, like, I could have gotten it for way less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I got my Nicaragua baseball shirt. It was, like, $10 or $15, and I was just like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I feel so cool now.
You were very into the beer they had there.
Oh, the Tonya. Yeah,
the Tonya, yeah.
I remember.
Honestly, the highlight of that trip for me, though, was when we went to the like the salsa club with the professor
who led
the trip.
I have videos on my phone.
You actually?
Yeah,
I haven't seen
them.
I have
a couple of videos.
I want to see those when we're done with this. No, I danced with a random Nicaraguan guy. They taught us how to do the whole, like, hip dance, and, like, you'd go to the side, like, the one, two, three. Did that for a little while. And I just remember after that, I was like, okay, well, anyway, and, like, turned to the group of all us Americans and started, like, jumping and, like, fist pumping. And we're like, how awful an American can we seem? But it was fun. I do, my thing is, my dance move is to do, like, that pointy thing.
Yeah, you do.
You know,
that.
I do that a lot.
Yeah,
someone once told me I dance more with my arms than anything else, which is true. I kind of, like, cross them, uncross them, point it out.
Yeah. See, we all have, like, our own different body part that we utilize, like, the most when we dance. For me, it's my knees, you know what
Your
I mean?
Your knee? Oh, yeah. It is. I'm thinking about that now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I drop mine it is... low. Like...
Mine's my forearms, I think. Like, I'm thinking this through now. I do, like, the, like, what, like, the dead arm? That's what's called, right?
Yeah, the robot arm. Or, like, the ending to the robot. Where
well, no, it's, like, where you kind of, like, just swing your arm. I think it's, like, the dead arm or, like, the limp arm or something.
I'm not
sure. It used to have a term. I do that a lot. It's, just, it's literally, it's all from the elbows, guys.
Oh, boy.
If you want to, you know.
Knees and elbows.
Knees,
Drake and Aubrey in the club.
Shoulders, knees and elbows.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Why we're not fun in the club. Actually,
no,
here's the thing.
I got some good moves, I think. I've gotten compliments on my dancing. Sometimes. Don't look at me like that.
I don't know what you're talking about. The listener can't hear the looks. You have had a lot of changes in your life this year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
We already kind of touched about how you studied abroad. You come back from that. You grew up in Connecticut. You lived there your whole life, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
In the fun thing that all parents do when their kids are in college and they're like, you don't care about your home anymore. It's our home now.
So basically what happened, it was... So I left for Rome in the beginning of January. The month before December of 2017, my dad had the ability to take like a nice retirement package because they were like laying off a bunch of people. And so my dad was just like, oh yeah, like I've always like, he's always talked about like retiring and moving to Florida. And so that's exactly what he did. So he took the retirement package. He retired in January. When I had just like gotten, adjusted to living in Rome. And then the next like 2 months he focused on like cleaning like the house and like getting it ready for like a move. And, actually like on my 21st birthday, they put the house up for sale.
Happy birthday to you.
Yeah. And so that was like the, Friday. And then the first open house was like that Sunday and the house sold like that day. And they were like, oh my God, this is crazy. Like we weren't really expecting this. So then they had to like readjust everything and like get ready to like move out. So it was like kind of shocking like for all of us. And so when I came back from abroad, I came back on like a Sunday and then they moved out like a week later. Yeah, so it was like I had like a week to like live in my old house for one last time and then like clear my stuff out. And then I lived with my grandma in Connecticut this past summer. So that was like kind of crazy. Like it was weird because I was dealing with, like, coming back from abroad, getting, like, readjusted to the U.S., and I just had, like, this crazy, like, life-changing experience abroad. And then I come back, and then the one thing that, like, was, like, pretty permanent in my life is, like, not really there anymore.
That's some soft stuff as well. That's some sad boy vibes in here.
No, but it was, like...
No, I get what you mean.
In the end, like, I was, like, not upset at them for leaving because I don't blame them. But, like, once I like, drove down with my dad to Florida, I was just like, wow, like, I could see, like, why you want to move down here. Like, but, yeah, I was happy for my parents that they were able to move down to Florida and, like, kind of fulfill their dream, I guess, or just, like, do what they wanted to do.
That's nice. That's a good, I'm glad you have that attitude about it. Because I know my dad moved to Rhode Island in March from Seattle, and I cried. I cried for a long time when I found out.
Yeah.
I had to go on, I think, a 2-mile walk outside.
Oh, my
goodness. It was freezing
cold.
It was winter. And I just had so much anger. And I just kept going on. I was with one of my friends. And I just kept repeating, I hate the East Coast. This is stupid. I want to be in Seattle. Because it was so much a part of, like, who I was. It was like, oh, I'm from Seattle. Yeah. My parents live there. Going home to visit my dad.
Yeah, of course.
And he was kind of downtown-ish. So it was really in the city. Mm-hmm. Going from that to all of a sudden, nah, Rhode Island. And I am, not that I'm adamantly anti-East Coast, however, West Coast, best coast.
Yeah, I can't say because I've never been to the West Coast.
Thanks for never visiting me. And now you can't because my dad's not there anymore.
but yeah, like moving's like, it's crazy because it's the only thing that was like permanent in like our lives or like the one thing that we could go back to and be like, oh, like, hi, high school friends. Like, what are you guys, like, doing with your lives?
Well, I had a similar thing younger because I actually moved right before high school,
mm-hmm.
which is always a weird thing for me because it means the town I grew up in, which was a very small town, like, no reason to go back there, essentially,
right.
anymore. But the people that I did know from there, I've seen them in D.C., which is crazy.
Oh,
not, like,
wow.
in passing, but if they're going to D.C., that's the great thing about being from Washington State and going to school and living so far away, mm-hmm. is that whenever anyone's in D.C., they always pay a visit. My neighbors that lived across the street from me all of growing up took me out to dinner when they were here for a weekend because they went to D.C. to see the monuments and the museums, and that's such a big thing that they all know that I'm out here, which is just such a cool, supportive thing. Just that feeling of even when you move away, even when you don't have that physical connection, there's always something kind of tying you to the people you grew up with.
I never thought about it that D.C. is a great place to go to school because so many people, like, visit and mm-hmm. you could see them again and, like, reconnect with them and show them the city.
I had so many friends that have interned here, whether it's for a semester, for the summer, or they do some sort of D.C. abroad program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've seen, I think maybe at least 4 or 5 people that I went to high school with that don't go to college here, that don't really work here, but that have had an internship here. So they've been in D.C. for that reason.
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't know. I really like D.C. Like, it's kind of become a second home.
I feel that. I don't think I liked D.C. until I was working downtown. I think that really, for me, made a big difference. My job right now is right downtown. So just being in the city and going to work in the city and, like, being a part of it and feeling like I'm, you know, on the commuter train, going in, going back, that kind of everyday rhythm outside of school is really cool here.
Yeah, no, it's
there's
it's
definitely,
amazing.
Like, a feeling, you know, everyone in D.C., I always used to complain that everyone in D.C. dresses up too much and that in D.C., it's, like, too serious of a city. But there's something really cool about being one of those people and about going downtown and realizing, oh, my gosh, like, I'm in D.C. I could walk to all the Senate offices or the House offices. The president lives 2 blocks away from where I work.
Yeah.
Like, all those kind of things. And to be in the heart and the center of it is such a unique opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And I felt, like, the same way whenever I, like, interned downtown or when I interned, like, on the Hill. Like, I felt like I was a part of, like, something that was, like, bigger than me. Or I felt like I was important. Like, this, mm-hmm. like, 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid who's just like, I've got my briefcase. I don't have a briefcase. Yeah. But, like,
I got my backpack.
Yeah, I got my lunch all packed. Like, Mom didn't make it for me. Like, I'm, like, commuting with everyone else who's, like,
it's a cool feeling. Yeah. And I've really grown to appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure how long I'll stay in D.C. Because I know, for me, my favorite place, which, fun fact, isn't Seattle, is actually New York.
Oh.
Because I love, like, I go there for a weekend to visit my grandma, and I leave happy. Like, mm-hmm. I am never as happy as I am when I'm in New York.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. It just kind of really rejuvenates me being in, like, that busy and weird and hectic of a city.
What section of New York? Or, like, or where does your grandma live?
My grandma lives in the Bronx.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
My favorite part to, like, hang out in New York tends to be, like, the Village by, like, NYU and stuff.
Okay.
Because I love all the weird tiny shops. And my favorite thrift store is there, which is where I got this dress next to you in the closet for $20. It's a vintage 1980s Betsy Johnson dress.
Oh.
Which I really love. It's one of my favorite pieces I own.
Hmm.
But there's this thrift store that prices everything based on what type of item it is. So, like, dresses are all $15.
Oh, that's cool.
Shirts are all $10. And then they always do, like, half off days and 10% off if you're a student.
Oh, that's nice.
And they get the coolest stuff because they're right by NYU. They're right in the Village.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's so many phenomenal vegan options there, so.
Yeah. My main experience with New York is I interned in New York this summer,
mm-hmm.
and I commuted from Connecticut, which was, like,
were you on Metro North?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I ride that when I'm at my aunt's house.
Yeah, I would wake up at 5:15 or 5:30 and, like, be out the door at, like, 6 a.m., get on the train at, like, 6:30, get into New York at, like, 8:30, walk half an hour to work. And
how long was the whole commute?
It'd be, like, 2.5 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like, door-to-door, 2.5 hours.
And Metro North isn't a cheap transportation method either.
Yeah, it's not. But, yeah, so my experience with New York was basically, like, I took the train into Grand Central, and then I would walk, like, 15 minutes, half an hour to the office on West 27th Street. My only experience was Midtown, which, like, isn't the best. I don't know, personally, like, I didn't like walking through, like, Koreatown and it smelling like piss every time I walked through it.
Okay, well, unfortunately, it's all the time we have today. Jake, thank you so much for joining us.
Of course, thanks for having me.
That was so professional sounding. That was really cute. thank you for listening to Almost Peaking today. I'm Aubrey Violetta Gelper, and you can find me on any form of social media at Aubrey Violetta. This show is available right now on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play. I think that's the name of the Google podcast thing. I obviously have an iPhone, but I don't know. But you can find it there. You can also find it on my website, aubreyvioletta.com/almostpeaking. New episodes are coming out every Monday. Today, again, thank you so much, Jake, for joining us. You can find Jake on social media as well.
Yeah, at JakeSwanson24 on Instagram and at JakeSwanson2019 on Twitter, I think.
You really changed the numbers there.
I don't know. You got to mix it up. It's all about the nuances in social media.
Anyway, looking forward to the next episode and hope you learned something new today.